Psalm 34, let's begin at verse 1 and read the first three verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Lord, we bless your name in this house. We thank you for the privilege of being together in your house, gathered in your name with your people to worship you. Thank you for your presence we've sensed. Now open our hearts that we may hear and receive what the Spirit will say to us in the midst of the preaching. I lift up other life-giving churches and I pray blessing upon them. I pray for our loved ones not yet walking in right relationship with you. Bring them to you, O Lord. And I pray especially for sons and daughters who have wandered from the faith. I ask that you draw them back to your side. Don't let one of them be lost. I pray all of these things in the only name that matters, the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. The king stood slack-jawed at the spectacle of the loathsome figure groveling in the dust. The contrast between the last time he had seen him and now couldn't be starker. The earlier image of that young lad, head thrown back in a shout of victory echoing through the valley of Elah, brandishing a captured sword in one hand while raising the freshly severed head of the Philistine giant in the other, was indelibly etched in his memory. This pathetic creature before him, hair matted, nails chipped, and fingers bleeding from scratching at the heavy wooden gate, spittle caked in his beard, reeking of sweat, urine, and excrement, muttering incoherently, bore scant resemblance to the youthful champion who had taken down Goliath with a sling and led the Israelite army in a rout of their Philistine oppressors. As Achish, king of Gath, looked upon David, he remembered the report of the song the women composed after the Israeli victory against his forces. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. With unconcealed disgust, coupled with a growing apprehension, he wondered what had turned the former darling of Israel into this odious, drooling madman. King Achish was a cruel leader. Now that David was captured and imprisoned, he wanted nothing better than to take vengeance on this one who had caused his humiliating defeat. At the same time, Achish was highly superstitious. According to the wisdom of the day, if a mentally challenged person were executed or even harmed, it would bring disastrous results on the land. So when Achish kicked David out of the city, it wasn't an act of pity. It was an act of self-preservation born out of fear. Having narrowly escaped with his life by pretending to be out of his mind, David left Gath and hid himself in the cave of Adullam. There in that cave, washing away the last vestige of his humiliation, David reflected on the goodness of God that had inspired such a brilliant scheme and brought about his deliverance. He picked up his harp and, with fingers still bruised and tender, softly plucked a melody. With a heart filled with gratitude and a voice choked with emotion, he began to sing, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." If anybody ever had reason for thanksgiving, it was David. He had been called out of the pasture where he as the youngest son was tending his father's sheep and chosen above his brothers to be anointed by the prophet Samuel as the king over Israel in place of the disobedient Saul. He'd been given a position in the palace and access to the king. While still a youth, he had achieved fame as a warrior by defeating the giant Goliath and then leading the king's army into battle against the Philistines. He had successfully eluded Saul's murderous attempts on his life on two separate occasions. Now, he had managed to escape certain execution at the hand of the avowed enemy of the people of God by pretending insanity. Whether he was facing a lion or a bear or a giant, God had helped him. At every stage of life, God had been good to him. Through every challenge, God had guarded and guided him. David had every reason to be thankful. This psalm where David writes about the goodness of God after escaping from King Achish has a very special feature. Psalm 34 is an acrostic psalm. This means each line of the psalm begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters in the alphabet, 22 verses in the psalm, every letter in the alphabet reminding David of the goodness of God. Now, as I was spending time with this psalm this week, I realized there was so much here in this psalm, I was not going to be able to cover it all in one message. Unless that is you want to stay here for about another 3 hours, which I don't think anybody does. So what I'm going to do is limit myself to the first three verses and talk to you about the power that is released in your life when you are truly thankful. In just a few days, as you know, we're going to be observing the holiday of Thanksgiving in this country. Some are going to be going out of town to celebrate with family. Others have family members who will be coming to be with them. People are making plans for the special meal to be enjoyed. Parades will be watched. Football teams will be cheered. I read the other day where someone humorously observed, "Thanksgiving is all about getting your entire dysfunctional family under one roof and hoping the police don't get called." Some of y'all are having way too much fun with that right now. When I read the Bible, I am often struck by how closely thanksgiving is linked with praise. For example, Psalm 100 verse 4 instructs us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The psalmist sings in Psalm 103 verses 1 and 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." The writer then proceeds to give a list of things for which to give thanks. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your life with good things and renews your youth like the eagle. Thanksgiving and praise are connected in Hebrews 13:15, when the writer says, "Through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." Well, even though thanksgiving isn't the same thing as praise, it's rare to find one without also finding the other. Thanksgiving and praise isn't just some kind of religious exercise we observe as part of a ritual of coming together as a church. Thanksgiving is more than just a national holiday where we get time off from work and join with family and friends and eat too much. Praise isn't some kind of mass psychology we engage in just to get people excited and emotionally pumped. Thanksgiving and praise are powerful tools that have been placed in the life of every believer. Through the power of thanksgiving and praise, spiritual strongholds are torn down. Through the power of thanksgiving and praise, kingdom life is released. Through the power of thanksgiving and praise, faith is built, joy is expressed, doubt is erased, hope is rekindled. Now, this kind of thanksgiving and praise is, first of all, purposeful. In verse 1 of this psalm, David sings, "I will bless the Lord." Even though this psalm was written as an expression of thanksgiving for the goodness of God in helping him escape from the clutches of an enemy king, a closer examination will reveal this was by no means a time of peace for David. In fact, it would seem David had everything going against him. I mean, he's running for his life, branded as an outlaw. His face is on wanted posters plastered all across the landscape. He's hiding in a cave. The whole country seems hostile to him. The only people he can attract to his side are those who are discouraged and depressed and in debt. His wife has been given to another man. He just barely escaped with his life after thoroughly humiliating himself. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and 2, in distress, in debt, everyone discontented. Those are the people. He was the captain over a band of ruffians who were the outcast from society. This is just about as bad as it can get.
Right.
But when David starts to sing about his condition, you don't hear him whining. You don't hear him complaining about how bad he's being treated. You don't hear discouragement, you don't hear despair in his voice. Instead, what you hear is a determination and a decision of his will as he sings, I will bless the Lord at all times. The will is a remarkable thing. It's like a traffic cop to your mind, your emotions, and your body. It's the thing in your life God has given power to make choices. And what this means is you have a choice this Thanksgiving season about how you will react to the winds that blow into your life. You can choose the path you're going to travel. You can choose the voices you're going to listen to. You can choose the pressures you're going to yield to. At each bend in the road, you can choose to be intentionally yielded to the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can choose to make up your mind that today, in this situation, in the midst of this adversity, with the winds of opposition blowing in your face, you can choose a position that says, I will give thanks. I will bless the Lord. Thanksgiving is a choice. It's a decision of your will. You see, the will is what brings the emotions and the body and the mind into proper alignment with the divine purpose. One of the reasons you continue to give in to the temptation is because you haven't yet come to the point where you say, I will do this and I will not do that anymore. Can I just tell you, the time to decide how you're going to respond to temptation is not when you're in the middle of the temptation. Because you'll blow it. The time to make a decision of your will is before you are ever presented with the option. This was the response of Job when he said in Job 31 and 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? In other words, before the temptation was present, he had already decided how he was going to deal with it. You need to make a covenant with your hands and your eyes and your feet and your mouth and your mind. You need to decide before you're ever presented with the opportunity, you will be holy. You will be godly. You will be righteous. You will be pure. You will be ethical. You will be a person of integrity. David had decided long before he was ever faced with severe adversity. He had purposed in his heart and his mind, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will be a person who looks to the Lord first. I will be a person who gives thanks no matter what the situation. I wish I could get somebody in this service to come to that place of decision before you leave here today, where you make up your mind, where you decide, no matter what, I will bless the Lord. I will give thanks in every situation. I will not give in to despair. I will not give in to trouble. I will trust. I will praise. I will bless the Lord. The kind of thanksgiving and praise I'm talking about today that produces a thankful heart, not only is it purposeful, it is also perpetual. David sang, I will bless the Lord, what? At all times. He went on, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This isn't a fair weather kind of Thanksgiving. This is the Thanksgiving of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the Thanksgiving of Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is the Thanksgiving of Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is where we are today. This is what God is trying to bring us to. Put that on in your life so that you never have to worry about what's going to take place, but God is always going to be there. He says, bear with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Then he goes on, he says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And then he finishes it all up and he says, and be thankful. This is what the Bible is talking about in Hebrews 13:15 when it talks about giving a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips giving thanks. That's what God is looking for today. He's looking for somebody with a made-up mind that regardless of what comes or what goes, you're going to give thanks and you're going to praise the Lord. This kind of thanksgiving is not based on feelings, it's based on faith. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. Because it's really easy to get focused on what you don't have instead of being grateful for what you do have. I think I need to say that again. It's easy to get focused on what you don't have instead of being grateful for what you do have. On page after page after page after page in the Bible, we see the powerful effect of the sacrificial offering. When Abel offered a sacrifice, he was accepted and approved by God. When Noah offered a sacrifice, God made a covenant not to ever again destroy the earth by water. When Abraham offered a sacrifice, he received God's covenant of blessing and prosperity. When Moses offered a sacrifice, the nation of Israel was delivered from the bondage of Egypt. When Job offered a sacrifice, his lost fortunes were restored twice as much as before. When Gideon offered a sacrifice, he was called a mighty man of valor and defeated the oppressors of God's people with an army of only 300 men. When Elijah offered a sacrifice, the fire of the Lord fell and the mouths of the false prophets were silenced. When Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice, the power of Satan was broken, demons were vanquished, sin debt was canceled, healing was provided, the sting of death was removed, the grave was defeated, access into the presence of the Almighty was granted, burdens were lifted, hope was restored, grace was multiplied, heaven was opened, eternal life was given. I'm telling you, this is the breakthrough the Lord has for you today. This is the breakthrough that comes as you offer a sacrifice of praise with a thankful heart. See, no longer do we offer the blood of animals as a sacrifice. No longer is it a sacrifice of burnt flesh. It's a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips, giving thanksgiving to God. That's when the Holy Spirit shows up and the power of God is manifest. When God sees one of his children struggling and that person begins to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the time of trouble, I'm telling you, the Heavenly Father looks over and says, oh, I have to show up. I have to help. And that's when the breakthrough comes. A perpetual thanks means you give thanks not just for the great things, but for the small things. Give thanks not just for the rare things, but for the common things. Give thanks not just for the present blessings, but for past mercies. Give thanks for both the seen and the unseen. Give thanks for both the miraculous and the mundane. Give thanks for both the good times and the times of challenge. Give thanks for all the blessings received and give thanks, you're gonna love this part too, give thanks for all the negatives that have not happened to you. all the trials and troubles you have been spared. Some of those you will not know anything about this side of eternity. Maybe you're sitting here wondering how you can give thanks because you're focused on all you don't have. Maybe your bank account is depleted. Maybe your cupboard is bare. Maybe your health is deteriorated. Maybe your relationship is soured. Maybe your experience is making you feel God is letting you down. I want to remind you, experience is not the ultimate teacher of truth. We live in a world where we are bombarded with advertisements and invitations to fill our lives with all kinds of stuff. And we're told these are the things we need to make us truly happy. But the same world that tells us this is the same world that depletes us and makes us wonder if we are successful or valuable. I'm telling you, it takes crazy faith to sing praise when you can't make sense of your life. It takes crazy faith to trust when the world is caving in on you. It takes crazy faith to believe God will provide all you need when it feels like you need it all. It takes crazy faith to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the things clamoring for your attention and draining you of your energy. But hear me when I tell you, crazy faith is what pleases God. Crazy faith is what God uses to accomplish His will and purpose in your life and in this world. It's entirely possible that things are really bad for you right now. If so, God is asking you for some crazy faith. He asks you to believe His promise that it will all turn out good in the end. Even this, whatever this is in your life, even this will ultimately turn out for your good. If it isn't good right now, that's because it isn't yet the end. So why don't you take a moment and exercise some crazy faith and give God thanks. Give Him thanks right in the middle of the storm. Thank Him because He's a good God. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His faithfulness. Thank Him for His promise. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His grace. If God had not been good to you, where would you be? You ought to thank Him. Praise God. The kind of thanksgiving that produces a thankful heart is first of all purposeful, then it is perpetual. And finally, I want you to see it is a proclamation. David sang in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Now, anytime the Psalms or any part of the Bible for that matter, anytime it talks about His name, it's not just talking about saying God or Lord or Jesus over and over again. When the Bible talks about His name, it's talking about His character. His name represents the divine essence, who He is, the fullness of His nature. Now, if you haven't gotten anything else I've said in this message, I want you to get this one truth. This is one of the greatest things you could ever learn. Your circumstances and God's character are not necessarily linked together. Most people try to make their circumstances the measure of all things. They try to define God by their circumstance instead of defining their circumstance by God. And when they do that, when things are good, then God is good. And when things are bad, well, then God is bad. Well, I told you earlier that experience is not the ultimate teacher of truth. Your circumstance is not the measure of all things. God is the measure of all things. So when your circumstances are good, God is good. When your circumstances are bad, God is still good. Don't confuse the two. Giving thanks to God doesn't add one thing to his glory. And refusing to be thankful doesn't do anything to diminish his glory. He is still who he always was and who he will always be. And the reason you can be thankful even while going through the worst adversity of your life is because he is still the same. Your health may be failing, but God is still God. Your marriage may be falling apart, but God is still God. Your kids may be rebellious, but God is still God. Your job may not be turning out to be all it was advertised, but God is still God. Your cash flow may have diminished to a mere trickle, but God is still God. And when you magnify his name, you're not doing anything to make God any bigger than he already is, but you are enlarging him in your own mind. You're reminding yourself of who he really is. And when you give thanks by proclaiming his attributes, then those parts of his nature become the very parts that are magnified, and then they become manifested in your life. So when you proclaim him as love, then his love begins to rule in your heart in the time of hate. When you proclaim him as strength, then his strength begins to rule in your heart in the time of weakness. When you proclaim him as peace, then his peace begins to rule in your heart in the time of chaos. Your proclamation of his divine attributes connects you to the very resources most needed in your time of distress. So when you are weak, thank him for his strength. When you're under attack, thank him for his protection. When your world is collapsing around you, thank him for being your strong tower of safety. When you are lost, he is the way. When you can't find a way out, he is the door. When your friends let you down, he is faithful. When the situation is bad, he is good. When you have no resources, he is your provider. When you're defenseless, he is your defender. When everything is shifting and falling apart, he is unchanging. When you are falsely accused, he is just. When you are condemned, he is mercy. When you are hurt, he is your healer. When you're broken, he is your restorer. Instead of always telling God how big your problem is, maybe it's time to magnify the Lord and tell your problem just how big your God is. Praise be God. I wish I had somebody who would dare to thank him in the midst of your trouble. Dare to thank him in your despair. Dare to thank him in your loneliness. Dare to thank him not because you feel it, and not because everything is going the way you want it to go, and not because everybody else is doing it. Just dare to thank him because he's God. Just because you need his help. Just because you need his power released in your life. Just because you need a breakthrough. Just because you need deliverance. Just because you need a miracle intervention. I wish I had somebody who would dare to thank him and then watch what God would do. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, magnify the Lord. God. Stand on your feet and let's praise and magnify the Lord today. Come on, let's stand together. Praise Praise God, praise God.
I will sing praise. I will lift my voice. I will sing praise. I made my choice. I will sing praise in all I do. I will sing praise to you.
Do that, do that. Come on, lift your mouth.
I will sing praise. I will lift my voice.
Lift your voice and sing.
I will sing praise.